Hello and welcome. My name is Greg Martinelli, and this is the Ag Sales Professional Podcast. My mission in life is to make you the best salesperson or sales manager possible in agribusiness. Today's podcast is about measuring to monitor, motivate, and make sense of your salespeople. How do you measure your salespeople, and how do you as a salesperson measure yourself? Well, it's probably not one of the more popular topics, but it's something you really need to get a handle on. It's going to take a little bit of time to get through this podcast, but there's some good information to help you make sense of your territory and motivate you to achieve more. Well, let's just say what a few of the salespeople and sales managers around you might be saying and the other people in your office about you and what you do. Well, the sales manager who has a remote sales team might be wondering, you know, I wonder what they do all day. Who's making sales calls and who isn't? Or the sales manager that is overly fond of Bob might say, Bob is doing really great. And then when I ask them to show me the numbers of how Bob is doing, it doesn't turn out so great for Bob. Well, Barb's been selling for 30 years. I'm not going to tell her how to do her job, says a young manager who might be intimidated by Barb's experience. Another person, this is a people business. It's not just about the numbers, says anyone who doesn't want to be measured. Another comment here, I don't have time to sit around and log every time I had a phone call with a customer. If Big Brother wants to know what I do, they can come ride with me, says a salesman who is resisting the new CRM program or who might not be doing their job. Now, all these comments are paraphrased and not actual quotes, but you might have either said them or heard them many times over. Before we address them, let's understand that measuring is a vital part of every business. Sales especially is a very measurable part of our business. And I'm a big proponent of using these measurements, but only if they're done correctly. We can use measurements to monitor, motivate, and make sense of the complex marketplace we operate in. Most of us begin our lives being measured in some way, a school report card quarterly, or we graduate and we find ourselves in a work world that has a lot of data. There's a lot of measurements, and too often, there's very little training on how to use it. Every company and department have different measurements, which are calculated differently. It can be confusing, time-consuming, and very demotivating as you try to navigate the complexity of your company's measurements. And before we go further, here is a really good time-saving tip. If you're measuring and not doing anything with it, quit it. Kill the report right now if it's within your power. Save yourself the wasted time of assembling that report. As a sales manager, one of the folks in the office approached me one day to talk about a report. She told me that she spent 2 hours a week compiling this report and sending it to a group of salespeople and managers, including myself. The report was terribly ineffective, so I ignored it, as I think most of the people that received it did. I thought the report was an auto-generated and never realized that someone was spending even 5 minutes assembling it. We killed the report immediately. After reading this article, your first step is to gather all your reports and spreadsheets. Find out who the data is, how the data is being gathered, who's gathering it, and how hard or long it takes to gather that information. And who is doing what with it? Just challenge it. You would be amazed at the reports you might be able to kill and the time saved by the office staff that spends putting it together. When I'm brought in to work with a sales team, I tend to find salespeople and managers on one end of the spectrum when it comes to measuring. Either they are locked into analysis paralysis and spending hours in great detail with spreadsheets and information, or they spend very little time analyzing the available data. Whichever end of the spectrum you're on, let's dive into three ways you can use measurements in your role. Well, the first is to monitor. Just like a doctor monitors a patient's vital signs, like their heart rate, blood pressure, body temperature, we need to monitor our territory and business's vital signs. If we're healthy, our doctor takes a quick glance at our vitals chart and moves on. Do the same with your monitoring measurements. A great way to do that is the little dashboard dials. However, the minute you start to see a change or erratic results, you can dig deeper into that area before it becomes a problem. Just like your doctor gives you treatment for blood pressure before your heart gives out, you pick up on changes in your business before they escalate into problems. Before we go any further than that, I want to talk about the Big Brother issue. This is an easy one to solve. If you're a manager and you feel the need to monitor your sales team's activity to determine if they're doing their job, then I would guess, I think you hired maybe the wrong people. Or if you're insecure about what it takes to sell, you might consider a job change or bring someone in that can manage the sales team for you. If you're a salesperson and you are worried that Big Brother, your managers or the higher-ups will see what you do, and you're worried about that, then you too should consider a career change. As a salesperson, I worked hard and felt I was doing everything in my power to sell as much as I could. I welcomed anyone in the company that could look at my activities, my results, and advise me on how to get better at any of it. So get beyond the Big Brother issue quickly by measuring to improve. Well, what to monitor and why? Let's look at results first. Of course, dollars and units sold on every territory, customer, and product line. And this may sound basic, but you would be amazed at how many companies don't simply do this. Assign customers to assigned territories with results by products and by dollars. And the dollars can be gross dollars, whatever dollars make sense, and whatever units make sense. And I get arguments with people about, well, this unit doesn't make sense, that doesn't work. Okay, we'll get it down to the number that does make sense for your business. The first, you measure it in an Excel format, and the easiest way to do is have six columns. The first three are for monthly, and the last three are for yearly results. The first three under the monthly is the current month and the current month last year, and a column for the variance. So it's February of 2019 against February of 2018, and the difference, up or down. And you measure that for, again, dollars and units. Well, the next three columns are exactly the same except for the annual results. So it's year to date, and if your year to date is your fiscal year starts in June, then it's June 1 to the date of whatever it is. Like right now, it's February of 2019. So it'd be June 1, 18 to February 28th of 2019. Again, compare that to June to February of 17, 18. So you're comparing apples to apples, and then a third, a last column for the difference. Next on our list of measurements is the accounts receivable. Yes, the dreaded AR report. As salespeople, we do dread it sometimes. However, keep in mind that if you sell and don't get paid, technically that's called donation or charity. Whether you collect it or yourself or not doesn't matter. It's your customer and you got the company involved with this customer. You need to see it through all the way through to payment. Next, you want to take your results and start to segment them. You got the old ABC. Of course, A is your highest priority customers, your best. Your B are kind of the middle of the pack. And then the C are your bottom ones, are the ones you probably wish weren't on your list. I think you need to segment your top third, bottom third, and start segmenting your list. See where your dollars are coming from. I like to do this both by units and by dollars and see if they're in alignment. And if there's not an alignment, then why is that? And try to figure some stuff out. These are things that'll give you indicators of what's going on. And of course, you have the same situation, same tracking, all that we just talked about, and you do it by products. So you sort one time by customer, and look where your money's coming from in your units, and the next time you flip it and you sort it by products. So you see which products are making you the most money and the least money. And all right, well, let's talk about monitoring some activities. And I would say this before we go any further. Measuring your activities should be done at probably the lowest possible level possible by the salesperson and at the most by the manager. Anything above that within a company, monitoring number of sales calls and number of things that aren't totally results driven, I think gets into a lot of gray area and a lot of argument about who's doing what and who's looking good on the charts. So let's talk about monitoring sales calls. Write down how many times you call on each customer in the last 6 months or year. Then sort your list by ABC. And does your number of sales calls coincide with your ABC segments? In other words, are you spending more time with your top accounts? This activity is for the salesperson to do and work through with their manager. Again, I don't believe it's helpful to go any higher in the organization. I consulted with a company that monitored the number of sales calls per salesperson at a national level. Well, that's okay if you're using it to determine success patterns or overall activity, but it wasn't so great to identify inactivity by specific salespeople at a national level. If you do, salespeople will give you the results you're looking for. They're wired that way. They're going to give you the results. You're probably just not going to like it. And what did we get? We got more sales calls. However, they may not be as effective as what they could have been had they been focused on something besides filling out that information. All right, let's talk about capacity. This is an overlooked area that I really like to focus on when coaching and consulting. One of my questions, what is the ideal, typical, and expected number of customers per salesperson and annual dollars or units of sales per salesperson? This is one of the toughest things you'll ever try to figure out because every territory is different. In some places, you can have 5 customers and you're at capacity. In other places, you need 100 because of the units that they buy or the dollars in sales. But having said that, you need to figure this out as a salesperson or sales manager to know where you're going to focus your time, growing your business or growing what you currently have sold. Let's talk about customer turnover. This helps determine if you're losing more customers than you're adding. Critical in diagnosing the selling process. If you're signing a lot of people up, great. If you're losing them within 6 months in the ag world, that's pretty quick to lose somebody unless you're doing a one-time type of sale. Most of our businesses, they're repetitive, sometimes lifetime customers, but definitely long-term. And if you're losing them quicker than you can sign them up, you've got a problem. The last thing I think you can look at is number of new accounts, and that kind of goes in with employee or customer turnover. All right, section 2, motivating, using measurements to motivate. Top performing salespeople have a burning desire to succeed. They want to know what the goal is and where they are at on reaching that goal. I've done this countless times in my physical fitness routines, doing Ironmans and marathons. The more you measure, the better you understand what you're doing, where you're having success and failures, and you can modify your behavior faster. It motivates top performing salespeople to see their name up in lights. We'll talk about a couple of ways you can do that. One is the progress thermometer. That's very easy. Ever see one of those giant cardboard thermometers that charities use to color in as donations come in? You can see the goal of $1,000 with a thermometer marked off in $100 increments. It generates excitement and creates awareness. Effort increases as you get closer and closer to the end. And as a sales manager, this is the same motivating environment you create when you bring up the sales team's goals and update them as the year progresses. Please don't put them in a binder, throw them on the shelf, and never talk about them. Oftentimes, teams are presented with the yearly goal via the annual business plan, and they never see them again until the annual meeting. If you took the time to create the goal, take the few extra minutes to measure the sales team's progress towards achieving that goal. Another way to measure yourself is the calorie counter mentality. In personal fitness, there are many of these sports apps that help you record your diet and exercise. They're much more accurate than estimating, guessing, or worse yet, not counting them at all. It's this immediate feedback that tells you whether or not you had a good or bad fitness day. You can make modifications right away to your diet and exercise to have impact. Well, the same goes for motivating yourself to stay on your good work habit routines when it comes to selling. Here are some things you can put in there in your measuring, your calorie counter mentality measure. You can measure the number of sales calls, the number of prospect calls, number of times you did a pre-call plan, the number of times you developed an agenda for your call, the number of open-ended questions you're asking, the percent of calls that you asked a closing question, or the percentage of time that you're talking on your sales calls versus your customer talking. These don't have to be tremendously itemized measurements. We're busy. You can just simply take time to think about who talked more on that call, me or the other customer. Put a number down, 20%, 30%, and just keep track how much time did you do. It's just the monitoring itself is what gives you the value and lets you make those small changes. They're great immediate feedback. Well, the last thing for motivating people is fairness. I know life is not fair, but measuring results can bring fairness to your sales team and your customer. This is important. I know this may sound fluffy or lighthearted about fairness, but there is nothing worse than seeing a report come out and it be inaccurately displaying the results that you accomplished in your territory. Or worse yet, no report coming out and a sales manager bragging up how great somebody on the team is when you know they haven't sold a darn thing. We've all heard the phrase, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. This can be so true with sales teams and customers. Often it's the most talkative or influential salesperson that gets their way. Ever sit in a meeting and hear a salesperson dominate the conversation and then realize they don't have the results to back up their opinions? I've seen companies launch products based on one of these louder salespeople saying, "We could sell a lot of that product if we stocked it in the warehouse," only to see that product come in and go into the dumpster 3 months later. Likewise, I've seen salespeople focus the majority of their time on the squeaky wheel customer. Don't get caught up in the noise of the loudest customer in your territory and lose track of where your revenue is coming from. Measuring results by salesperson and customer helps us validate our use of time and resources. All right, the last way I'm going to talk about using measuring is to make sense of your territory and make sense of your customers, make sense of your products. Measuring helps us make sense of our business, our sales process, and how we manage our resources. By segmenting customers based on results, dollars and units, we can determine who's generating the majority of our revenue, when they are generating that revenue, and which products are bringing that revenue. This helps a salesperson allocate time and resources. In a world where everyone feels they are overwhelmed to get it all done, segmenting your customers and prospects helps you focus on the right ones. Measuring promotions and seasonal results will help determine what's working and what isn't. Trade show recaps. Trade shows aren't cheap. You need to recap. You need to know which ones are providing leads and prospects and which ones aren't. Measure determine which shows you should attend. Measuring prospects is another area. You need to measure them as they make their journey through the prospect funnel. It's critical to know what's effective and where you're gaining and losing prospects to becoming customers. Often the prospect funnel starts out with the marketing partner's social media campaign. From there, the prospect winds through their way through email, phone call contact with the sales team, farm calls, sales presentations, and ultimately becomes a customer, or they drop off the radar. Measuring where this happens is important for companies to improve their results and for you to improve the results in how you're prospecting. I'm going to leave you with a couple of last tips on measuring. First of all, what gets measured gets done. Very old saying. But the second part of that saying is what's important. Be careful what you measure because you just might get it. Remember that company I mentioned that focused on measuring the number of sales calls their remote sales team was making on farmers? They were tracking it down. They didn't want anybody sitting at home not doing their job. So they tracked the number of sales calls. These numbers were monitored and discussed across the whole company. And guess what they got? Exactly. The sales team figured this out and logged the sales calls. They didn't hit their sales results, but they were making the sales calls. That measurement should have gone no higher than the first line sales manager, if that at all. Second quick note I'll leave you with. Make it quick, easy, and use your CRM program. I know that sounds like a terrible thing, but you need to make measurements no matter what they are. It needs to be easy. If you have to spend time on it, you're probably not going to do it. Look around your company today. Ask your sales team and sales manager how much time they are spending on reports. If they're spending an inappropriate amount of time putting together data and building reports, get it out of their hands and make it quicker for them. In today's world, where people know how to build complex Excel and Tableau spreadsheets, don't allow your sales team or managers to sit out there and struggle through this every week or month. I'm not saying they are above learning how to work with Excel. I'm saying set it up so it's point and click. The best way to do this is tie your data into your CRM program. That's what they promoted when they sold you the program in the first place. Look at all the fancy charts and graphs you can do with this program. Where are they now? Make sure they're out there. Build them a simple dashboard for real-time updates. Now you have a tool that a salesperson can use to monitor their own performance. You and the salesperson can click on there and talk on the same sheet of music. The last point I will leave you with is this. The reports need to be easy. And by easy, I mean make it crystal clear on how the measurement is determined. If there is a gray area or disagreement around how the measure is determined, either fix it or remove the measurement. And if you're the boss and there's gray area, sit down with the sales team, sit down with your top performers, and lay out the plan as to what you plan to measure. Lay out the identity of the measurement that you're talking about. And if they don't come to agreement, at least they come to an understanding of what you're going to put in there. I have spent hours and hours in meetings talking about the intricacies of this measurement, why it's effective and not effective. If it's that debatable, get it out of there and stop using it. I hope today's blog was helpful, as sales measurements are really, they're great for monitoring, motivating, and making sense of your territory. I don't know how else you could do it without them. It just takes a little time to think through how you set them up and who uses them. Additionally, go through and review all of them, at least annually, to make sure they're still effective and helpful. And if they're not, kill them.
I hope today's podcast helped you on your journey to being the best ag sales professional you can be. If you ever have topics you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, please reach out. We're always looking for new ideas and new guests. And as always, you can access more blog articles and training opportunities on my website at gregmartinelli.net. That's www.gregmartinelli.net. Thank you and have a great day.